Good morning. Welcome to our time of worship and celebration as we begin this new church year. I should say to you, Happy New Year as we begin this season of Advent today. I am Chaplain Bob Frank. I'm a chaplain, have been a chaplain for about 6 years at OSF Heart of Mary Medical Center, sister hospital, you might say, of Sacred Heart here in town. And so glad to be with you today to help out Pastor Tibb. And I didn't know why he was gone for today, but I heard from the some of the ladies and such that his son, whom you've grown up with, he's grown up with you, was married yesterday out at Emmanuel Broadlands, and so we're glad to give him some time off with that celebration. I'd like to make a mention of one adjustment in our bulletin. The Catechism Review is actually on page 326. You'll notice that at that portion of the service this morning. And so let us begin our time of worship and celebration as we sing hymn number 331, The Advent of Our King.
Open my lips, make haste, O God, to deliver me. Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit. As it was in the beginning, is now and will be forever. Amen. Praise to you, Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King of all gods. In His hand are the deep. And bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Glory be to the Father and to the Son. In the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Now turn to Psalm 80 in the front of our hymn book. Psalm 80, and we will say this responsively, whole verse by whole verse. Psalm 80, verses 1 through 7. Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who are enthroned upon the cherubim, shine forth. Restore us, O God. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in full measure. Restore us, O God of hosts. Let your face shine, that we may be saved. Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for this first Sunday in Advent is recorded in Isaiah chapter 64, verses 1 through 9, and will also be the basis of our sermon thoughts this morning. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down, that the mountains might quake at your presence. As when fire kindles brushwood, and the fire causes water to boil. To make your name known to your adversaries, and that the nations might tremble at your presence. When you did awesome things that we did not look for, you came down, and the mountains quaked at your presence. From of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear, no eye has seen a God besides you, who acts for those who wait for Him. You meet Him who joyfully works righteousness,
those who remember you in your ways. Behold, you are angry, and we sinned. In our sins we have been a long time, and shall we be saved? We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away. There is no one who calls upon your name, who rouses himself to take hold of you. For you have hidden your face from us and have made us melt in the hand of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Be not so terribly angry, O Lord, and remember not iniquity forever. Behold, please look. We are all your people. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given to you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. This also is the word of the Lord. I invite you to stand as you are able as we read the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 11th chapter. When they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethphage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it and will send it back here immediately.' And they went away and found a colt tied at a door outside in the street, and they untied it. And some of those standing there said to them, 'What are you doing untying the colt?' And they told him what Jesus had said, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. And many spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut from the fields. And those who went before and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. Hosanna in the highest.'" This is the gospel of our Lord. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the hands. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. turn now to page 326 in the front of our hymn book and continue with the questions regarding confession. Page 326, the last three questions. What is the office of the keys? The office of the keys is that special authority which Christ has given to his church on earth to forgive the sins of repentant sinners, but to withhold forgiveness from the unrepentant as long as they do not repent. Where is this written? This is what St. John the Evangelist writes in chapter 20. The Lord Jesus breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." What do you believe according to these words? I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command, in particular, when they exclude openly unrepentant sinners from the Christian congregation and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. Please be seated, and we continue with the hymn of the day, the first five stanzas of hymn 332. Dear friends in Christ, in the name of our Christ Jesus, our Savior and Lord, who comes to us in this season of Advent. Amen. We read again from our text. Well, we don't have the text with us, excuse me. We will continue right on into things. Dear friends, one of the most popular TV game shows is The Price is Right, hosted by longtime MC Bob Barker for long times and now by Drew Carey. Now, I'm not sure which it is, whether this is the one that's in the morning between 9 and 10, or the one that's between 2 and 3, but as I visit people in the hospital, I have to be careful of these 2 hours, because oftentimes there are patients who are intently watching either of those shows, but especially The Price is Right. Now, you know how it works, usually. There are people who get tickets, and they, by those having those tickets, they are eligible to have their name drawn to become a participant in the show. And as the show opens, names are drawn, and the announcer proclaims, "Mary Jones, come on down." Mary excitedly jumps from her seat and runs down to the front of the game show set to compete with the other contestants for the opportunity to go on the platform and then guess the price of various showcases. Now, if Mary is lucky, she will beat out the other competitors by coming closest to the price, the close price of the item or certain items. And when this happens, she then can run up on the stage and compete for various other prizes and the big showcases. Competing on The Price is Right all begins when that announcer calls that contestant's name and says, "Come on down." And that is the theme of our day today, our sermon, "Come on down." Isaiah in chapter 64 gives us a picture of the, on this first Sunday of Advent, of his desire for God to reveal himself once again to his people. For Isaiah, God must appear. The great Advent hymn reveals the desire of Isaiah and of people of all times for God to come down. The hymn echoes the heart cry of humanity as we sing, O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. This is Isaiah's desire, but it is also our desire as well, that God, during this Advent season, would reveal himself to us again. And so we say, in a sense, come on down. Well, let's notice what the prophet does in this account. First of all, he cries out to God. He cries out to God. He addresses a people who are powerless and oppressed. His address is in the form of a prayer, which for us contains the hope of Advent. There are two distinct parts of this prayer. They are first a cry of desperation, and then second, a confidence in God, who can intervene in our human situation. Isaiah wants God to come down. And so there is a suggestion that God is removed from the earth. But of course, that's only in one sense. He's really with us all the time. But in another sense, he is removed from us because of our sin. In order for God to become actively involved in the affairs of humanity, he will of necessity have to rip open the heavens, as we'll see in Mark later on in a few weeks, as he opens up the heavens, rips open the heavens, so that he can be involved in the affairs of men. This cry of the prophet is a reminder that Advent is the cry of God for God to reveal himself. Someone of the days of the World War II, Elie Wiesel, tells an ancient story that has meaning for our time and helps us understand the prophet's cry. The story goes like this. There's a man on a boat. He's not alone, but he acts like he is. And one night, without warning, he suddenly begins to cut a hole under his seat. The other people on the boat shout and shriek, "What are you doing? Have you gone mad? Do you want to sink us all? Do you want to destroy us all?" Calmly, the man answers, "I don't understand what you want. What I'm doing is none of your business. I paid my way. I'm not cutting under your seat. Leave me alone." But what the fanatic will not accept, but what you and I cannot forget from this story, is that we're all in the same boat. And Wiesel is right. We are all in the same boat. All of us cry out in our need for God to come, because we need him to do something before our boat sinks. Now, Isaiah in his petition reminds God of how he came and helped in the past. And so his words in the first three verses are reminiscent of the heavens shaking at the point of the children of Israel being at Mount Sinai for the giving of the law, the covenant. He wants God to intrude once again, Isaiah does, in the life of his people. And isn't it the purpose of Advent to take us back again to the beginning? To remind us about that Jesus Christ will come and complete all history under his reign of love? Now, when we look at all the pain and suffering in our dark world today, especially with the pandemic as it rages, the prophet's cry becomes our cry. For we want God to come down and rescue us, to right wrong, to reveal his glory and his majesty and his presence, and to bring us forgiveness and peace and real life. And so the prophet petitions God to come down. But in order to attract God's attention, so to speak, something must be done besides shouting. And so the prophet then continues to confess the nation's guilt. Isaiah confesses the nation of Israel's guilt. And of course, the tone changes. And as the prophet surveys the situation, he lowers his voice and confesses the guilt of the Israelites, of all Israel. For Israel has sinned and is unclean. And what does the prophet do? He leads the entire nation in a confession of sin. So often the church has viewed the Lenten season, the time before Easter, as a time for confession, repentance, and penitence. Is it possible that for the church to really experience the season of Advent, there must be a genuine confession and repentance? For all of us truly to prepare for the coming of Christ, there must always be confession and repentance. Confession is the way for the church to see and find the mercy of God. And true confession washes away the arrogance of thinking that we can save ourselves like the fellow on that boat in the story. Advent comes to us each year to judge us and to remind us that we are all sinners. Advent also answers the question, how can we be saved? The prophet reminds Israel, and then us too, that our own efforts to save ourselves leave us like a filthy, bloody, contaminated rag and impure. So awful that we don't even want to touch it. In our own strength, we are like that fall leaf, faded and vulnerable, that will be blown away. How can we be saved? It is only through true confession and repentance, which are echoed in the Kyrie eleison, the phrase we use in our liturgy often, Lord, have mercy upon us. And so from the cry that starts his thoughts and then the confession, the prophet then moves to his third point, a plea to God. He pleads to God because the emphasis now shifts from the past to the present. This is a present tense moment in the last few verses of our text. And God, for the first time, is mentioned by name. You'll notice that as you look at the words there, all of a sudden the word Lord in all caps, the word for Yahweh, the personal name of God, is mentioned. It says, O Lord, you are our Father. You are our potter. We are all the work of your hand. It's almost as if the prophet has become now a defense attorney making the final argument before a jury. As he proceeds with his argument, he acknowledges that God is the all-powerful, all-wise, all-loving one. In an emotional appeal, he begs God to look and see what has become of his people, the holy city of Jerusalem and the temple. His argument reaches its climax with the expression, Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. In other words, what God has started to fashion with his hands should be completed. It is a plea for God to break into their isolation and to destroy sin's gridlock. This plea is also the plea of Advent that God would come. Advent means coming, and in the person of Jesus, the true Advent will come. Now, way back in 1989, you probably remember this, oil tanker, the Exxon Valdez, ran aground and spilled thousands and thousands of gallons of crude oil along the beautiful Alaskan shoreline. For those of you who don't remember that, it affected 1,000 miles of shoreline. It killed 250,000 seabirds, 3,000 otters, 300 seals, 250 bald eagles, and 22 killer whales. It was a devastating thing at that time, the greatest devastation of an oil tanker at that point. Now, of course, accusations and finger-pointing began immediately. And in the midst of all the fray, a suggestion was made that Exxon's president, the president of the oil company, should make a trip to see firsthand the horrible damage to the environment at that time. But his response was to imply that such a trip would just be a waste of time. He could have gone, but chose not to. And the response of people everywhere to the disaster might have been very different if the president of Exxon Oil Company had gone and gotten down into the muck and the dirt and the oil and cleaned and freed a few seabirds. A Chinese Confucius scholar was converted to faith in Christ, and he told this story, and it's very telling. A man fell into a dark, dirty, slimy pit. He tried to climb out of the pit, but he couldn't. Well, Confucius came along. He saw the man in the pit, and he said, "Poor fellow, if he'd listened to me, he wouldn't have gone there." And they went on. Buddha then came along. When he saw the man in the pit, he said, "Oh, poor fellow, if he'll come up here, I'll help him." And then he went on as well. Then Jesus Christ came and said, "Poor fellow." And he jumped into the pit and lifted him out. Our cry in this season of Advent is that God would come alongside us and rescue each one of us. The message from God that we celebrate is that he has come and that we are now his people. We respond, "How do we know you have come?" And he answers, "Look at Jesus beside you now in the muck of your world and your lives, and know that I have come. I'm down there with you. Amen." Now may the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, guard your hearts and your minds as you celebrate this season of Advent, recognizing the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ to rescue us from all sin. Amen.
take time now to confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, found on the inside back cover of your hymnal. And so we together confess, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We turn now to hymn 936 and sing praise to the God of Israel. In heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. We pray, stir up your power, O Lord, and come, that by your protection we may be rescued from the threatening perils of our sins and saved by your mighty deliverance.
For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. In our prayers this morning, we pray for the sick and hospitalized whose names appear on this prayer list, Don Powell, Dale Trimberger, and Kelly Stack, and our neighbors, Tracy Owens, that is Danny and Judy Hank's daughter, David Meinziger, the stepbrother of Lisa Thompson, Sarah Fausser's niece, Torin, and Rich Martin from Lutheran Church Charities. We pray for Ava Marie Shafai, the granddaughter of Dave and Lisa Clapp, who is being baptized today in Texas, and for Kevin and Kelsey Clapp, who will serve as Ava's sponsors. For Aiden Timmon and Grace Orwick, who were married at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Broadlands yesterday afternoon. For Nancy Smart and Darren Jarling, who are celebrating birthdays. For Rita Yago and her family, whose mother, Gladys Graumentz, was called to glory on Friday. For Pastor Tibben and his family, whose mother, Betty Clemenson, fell asleep in Jesus on Friday. And for the family of Mark Jordan, a friend of Trinity who died yesterday. The Lord be with you. And also, let us pray together. Almighty God, look upon our nation with compassion and mercy. Bless and preserve it, that it may remain faithful to our founding, even as we forge ahead into the future, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Gracious God, we thank you for our veterans who answered the call to serve and defend our nation. For those who suffer in some way as a result of their service, we ask for healing and help. Make them mindful of your victory over sin and death that you won for them and for us all. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, you give us our daily bread, including good health. We pray for all whose health is not good, especially Don, Dale, Kelly, Tracy, Rich, Betty, and all who are named on our prayer list. In your divine goodness and mercy, heal their bodies, restore their strength, and preserve their lives through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, we pray for Ave Marie on the day of her baptism. Keep her now and forevermore as your holy child and an heir of heaven. Enable Kevin and Kelsey to give attention to their duties as her sponsors, that they may faithfully pray for her and help care for her little soul. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O God, our Maker and Redeemer, we along with Nancy and Darren thank you for giving them life, for providing them with all they need to support this body and life, and for giving them the gift of eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Blessed Savior, bless Aiden and Grace as they live together as husband and wife. Enable them to love and honor each other. Bless them with children and keep them always as members of your bride, the church. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life for all who believe. Comfort Rita, Pastor Tibben, and their respective families, and Mark's family. Make them mindful of your promise that whoever believes in you, though he die, yet shall he live. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, through the preaching of the gospel, bless the unbelieving and the unbaptized with faith, that they may trust in you as the King who comes to us righteous and having salvation. Provide a pastor for our brothers and sisters at Emmanuel. Through the gospel that preaches and the sacraments he administers, come alongside your people, that to bless them and save them. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Shepherd of tender youth, bless our school as in-person instruction resumes tomorrow. And give us great joy in being able to gather together in your name, in your presence, and with one another. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Dear Savior, we thank you that you came down from heaven to save us. We thank you that you come among us now through the means of grace to forgive us. Prepare us during this new church year to joyfully meet you when you come again. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And let us pray together the collect for grace. And so together we pray, O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. We close our worship as we sing hymn 348, The King Shall Come When Morning Dawns. Christ.